Man, hey, just as the man was trying to climb through the window, the burglar suddenly turned his face to the pastor, and right then, lightning struck, and the terrible rumbling of thunder occurred. The burglar turned white as a ghost. He apparently didn't know that pastors or ministers could do that. And apparently the pastor was surprised as much as the burglar was. But the pastor had the presence of mind to point the finger right at the burglar and say, "The next one's for you." And with that, the burglar fled in fear. And sometimes, as we live our lives out as God's people, as we are confronted with situations that we feel weak or powerless, when we sometimes feel like these disciples in the boat, they were being swamped with water, a desperate and fearful situation, crying out to the Lord. And I think we need to understand, it's not just a strong wind, but a wind that was so fierce proportion that would frighten anyone. These were experienced fishermen. They've seen it all, and they were terrified. See, their problem was not the storm around them, but the unbelief within them, which was far more dangerous than the storm. I think it's interesting to note, in Mark's account, Jesus actually said in Mark 4 and verse 35, the same account, "Let us go over to the other side." And the interesting point is, our Lord didn't promise an easy trip, but he did promise a guaranteed arrival. But sometimes when things happen in our lives, we become fearful or anxious out of proportion for the situation we face. It may be bad enough that things we have in our favour might seem hard and difficult, but we need to get a fresh perspective on who Jesus Christ is. He is the Lord. He is the King. He is the rescuer. He has all power and all authority and all majesty. And sometimes in our Christian life, there are times when we might have responded to a particular situation and something goes wrong. Disaster. For these disciples, they must have been asking how the creator of the universe could lead them into a storm. He could have known that the storm was coming in advance. He could have waited so that they didn't face the terrible circumstances. See, the fact is, God never promises to keep us out of trouble. He promises to be with us, and that we serve a tremendous and the mighty and the living Saviour, that his grace is always sufficient. If I can just, if you excuse a personal illustration. At Blackhill, the church that I came from, I had a very close friend, Marion, who worked very closely with me.
prior to me coming to Black Hills, she was on the leadership team. She gave up, and then she had cancer. And about two, I suppose that this was about 18, 19 years ago. About 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago, she got cancer again. And she's actually in remission. And a year ago, her husband got cancer. And very, very positive. And was speaking to her on the phone, and she said, you know, her husband Roy is now in the wheelchair, and you know, time is short. And she said, Gary, whatever I face, the Lord is with me. And that is the testimony for every Christian. Whatever we face, the Lord is with us. He meets us at our point of need. And I don't know what you're facing this morning, because I don't know you well enough yet. But one thing I know, that we serve a Saviour who just wants to pour his love and his grace into our lives. Do you remember in Daniel chapter 3, the three Hebrews were thrown into the fiery furnace? God did not keep them from the fire. He kept them in the fire. Jesus did not avoid the cross. He triumphed over the cross. And what we can expect of our God is that he is with us in every situation we face. The fact was that Jesus wasn't on the shore, but he was on the boat with them. And in the last part of verse 24, it says that Jesus is asleep. And the fact he is asleep, that the fact that he doesn't care, he was with them. He was trusting his heavenly Father. Yes, the storm might disturb, but the storm could not sink them because Jesus was with them. Jesus was on the boat with them. Secondly, I want to pick up the great Saviour who is with them in the storm. The great Saviour who is with them in the storm. Please look with me at verses 25 and 26. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We are going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. In verse 25, the disciples in this desperate situation, panicking for their lives, really saying, Lord, save us, we are going to drown. And in verse 26, he challenges them, you are little faith, why are you afraid? See, the language here is that the storm, yes, it was a furious storm. Yes, the boat could be destroyed in the matter of minutes, and all aboard could perish. But the fact is, it wasn't going to happen because Jesus was actually on the boat with them. And that Jesus made the storm a wonderful opportunity to display his power and his authority. I don't know if you read anything by C.S. Lewis, but C.S. Lewis has got this phrase or statement: God whispers to us in our pleasures. speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. And I like that phrase, shouts to us in our pain, to make sure that we are open to learning the lessons that he wants to teach us. Penny Phillips was suffering from aggressive cancer and writes, "Before I was ill and living the life in the fast lane, I used to hear God fleetingly. When I was ill, I felt so alone. Then he meets me vividly through his people. Now I rest in his presence." See, Jesus, to the disciples and to us, whatever we face, he wants to teach us lessons of faith, to trust him, to know that he is the mighty God, that we need to have that saving trust in Jesus. There are times when we try to cope by ourselves. We need to come to the end of our resources, and like the disciples sometimes, to cry out to the Lord Jesus, save us. And out of that desperate situation, he comes to the rescue. In verse, 26, the Lord Jesus uses that opportunity to teach us. And he uses that phrase, you of little faith. See, the problem is that the fear was driving. It was not that the disciples never had any faith, or they wouldn't respond to the call of the Lord Jesus and follow him right into that boat. But at times, they just saw that raging storm. It was that unbelief in the hearts of the disciples. Someone once said that faith is not believing in spite of circumstances, it's in obeying in spite of feeling and consequences. See, the disciples looked around and saw the danger. They looked within and saw the fear. But they needed to look up and to see the Lord Jesus. Time and time again, Jesus performed miracles. And what Jesus is actually saying, and what he's saying to us today, you know me. I have rescued you. I have delivered you. You know of my power. I can help you. Because of my love, I will help you. The problem is that you are looking at the waves and not looking at the Lord Jesus. You a little faith. And in the second part of verse 26, we read that he got up and rebuked the waves. It was completely calm. Jesus brought peace to the situation. At this, it's interesting to note the actual word means to rise up. That Jesus rise up against the storm and stood with power, authority, and majesty. I think that teaches us something about our own lives, that Jesus is Lord of our lives. He is Lord of this church. And we must never lose sight of that. See, the word rebuked here indicates graphically the personal authority of Jesus to demonstrate his authority. For every Jew, this would have been very significant, because they believed that the sea was a powerful symbol that opposed God. And Jesus, with that powerful word, doesn't say so much in Matthew's account, but in Mark's account, the word that Jesus uses, two words that translates in the New International Version, be still. Those tremendous words, be still. And the sea was calm. Jesus' powerful word calmed the sea. And this is the same Lord that we serve. The same Lord that can bring hope to a dark situation. The same Lord that can pour his peace into our lives when we are fearful and anxious. The same Lord that has power and majesty. Thirdly, and finally, and more briefly, I want to pick up the great discovery that proves that he is Lord of all. That the great discovery that proves that he is Lord of all. Verse 27, and it says this. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. See, the fact is, their response is amazing. They have never seen anything like this. God was never overwhelmed, nor is he today. Imagine the disciples to the sudden and complete resulted from God's word. They could hardly believe their eyes. See, Matthew chapter 8 and 9 really speaks about that Jesus is master of every situation. He can control the wind and the waves. He can control everything. They ask this question, who is this man? Starting to realize he is more than a man, but God himself. They knew Christ in a new way. They knew that he is the all-sufficient one. They had the storm to thank. Can we thank God for some of the storms that we have in our life? That our eyes are open to all that Jesus is. Someone once said, open my eyes that I may see the presence that is all about me. Open my ears that I may hear the voice that is quiet and ever near. Open my heart that I may feel the love of God that is close and real. Open each sense. Make me aware of the power and the peace always there. The disciples asked this question, who is this Jesus? This morning, I ask you not to jump out of the storm, but by faith, to jump on board the boat and put your life in the Saviour's hand. And to know from this moment onward, all through your future experiences, what happens in your life will happen to God, because Christ is in you. We must truly discover that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.